Luke chapter 2. The message today is the parable speaker. Luke 2:52. Let me read you several scriptures, and then we shall consider the parable speaker. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Please notice, the scripture says, Jesus increased in wisdom as well as in stature and in favor with God and men. Now, Mark chapter 4. Verse 30. And he said, how shall we liken the kingdom of God, or in what parable shall we set it forth? 33. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. And without a parable spake he not unto them, but privately to his own disciples he expounded all things. Now Matthew 13, verse 34. All these things spake Jesus in parables unto the multitudes, and without a parable spake he nothing unto them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken through the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things hidden from the foundation of the world. And let's look at Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Okay. Our Father, we thank you for the fullness of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, our God. He is not one thing, but he is many things. We are thankful that in the brief account that you've given us of him, you've shown us the great variety of ways in which he's presented to the children of men. Let us know that today we would consider him as the parable speaker, and so by thy Spirit, enable us to explain this, to make thy Son in our eyes to be who he is, and for us to have an estimate of him according to your estimate which you have and you speak of him from heaven. We pray, our Father, that the hearts of those who are here may be prepared by thy Spirit, and the lips of him who speaks empowered by that same Spirit, and that you will let us be blessed of God. We confess our sins, be faithfully just to forgive and cleanse as you have promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. What I want to know is the same thing that Christ's countrymen wanted to know when they heard him speak. Remember that for 30 years he had lived in obscurity and insignificance as a nonentity, a carpenter in Nazareth, and now the Lord Jesus stands before his fellow countrymen, and they hear him speak, and they marvel at the words of grace that proceed from his lips, and they say this, where did this man get these things? What is this wisdom given unto him? What is this power given unto him? They wanted to know those things. They wanted to know the source of the excellency of this man that stood before them, because he was one of them, and none of them could touch the hem of his garment. None was his equal. He was superior to all of them. But instead of being filled with thankfulness to God and pride that one of their own was endowed with such gifts, they wanted to know where he got these things. What I want to do is to tell you where he got these things, according to the scriptures. That he was in possession of them, there's no doubt. It's like this. People today, the critics, deny Christ's miracles, and yet not one of the enemies of Christ ever denied his miracles. The only thing they would do is this. Not being able to deny them, they would say, he does them by the power of Beelzebub. But they were unable to deny them because they saw him perform those miracles. They wanted to know how he performed them, and being his enemy, instead of attributing them to his father, they attributed them to Satan. And now his fellow countrymen hear him speak like never man spoke before, and they want to know, where did this man get these things, this wisdom, this understanding? And I gave you the answer, part of it, from Luke 2:52. It says this, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. What most evangelicals, those that are fundamentalists, do, say, Jesus was God. He knew everything from the beginning. There was nothing he never knew. Listen to this verse. It says, Jesus increased in wisdom. If he had all the wisdom from the very first, how did he ever increase in wisdom? And yet, one brother read that verse, and he said, this verse doesn't make any sense. He's God. God knows everything. He couldn't increase in wisdom, so we're setting it aside. So that's one way to look at it. But the other thing is to confess that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is inscrutable, that he is God manifest in the flesh, and being God manifest in the flesh, without denying one whit of his deity in his humanity, because it says Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, we understand that God, since he is to be manifest in the flesh, must live some way on earth, must develop some way on earth, and had God chosen, he could have let Jesus simply live as deity, and the manhood would have been insignificant. But what he chose to do is this. Being God manifest in the flesh, he chose to live as man in the flesh. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself in like manner partook of the same. And so being flesh and blood, all things like we are, sin apart, the Lord Jesus had to grow. I thank God for his showing us the development of his Son from the very beginning. The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also that holy thing which shall be begotten of thee shall be called the Son of God, the conception of the Lord Jesus. And then at the last, it says that Mary, his mother, was great with child. And so the Lord Jesus was not placed in the womb of Mary full grown, but from the very beginning he was there, miraculously conceived of the Holy Spirit, and he developed to the full term until she was great with child, and she brought forth her firstborn son. And then she wrapped him in swaddling clothes, she nursed him, and he grew, he increased in wisdom and stature. And so he was not brought forth as Adam. Adam, a full-grown man, with all capabilities and potentials in him at that moment, fully developed, just waiting to be used. But the Lord Jesus had to increase in wisdom. And the Lord Jesus was able to read. He had to learn the alphabet, as you and I had to learn the alphabet. And what man would do is this, and I've seen it, and when you contend for God manifest in the flesh and tell them the way that the Bible tells us Jesus became the parable speaker, they resent it. This is what it says. He increased in wisdom and stature. Therefore, it means that just as Samuel in the Old Testament was a little boy, and his mother each year would come up with a new garment for him to wear. Why? Because he was growing. So in like manner, it was with the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to learn by stages, and all the things he learned were learned as a babe that learned to walk, that learned to talk, that learned to, I told you, the very first message. When his parents were seeking him and found him in the temple, they said, "Son, why have you dealt thus with us? Your father and I sought thee sorrowing." He said, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" And so the first week I told you about the Lord Jesus, the boy, 12 years old, who was about his father's business. He was learning the word of God. Will you remember that? He was in the midst of the doctors, the teachers of the law, both hearing them and asking them questions. He was not teaching. He was learning. And they marveled at his comprehension and then at the questions he would ask. At times, some questions that are asked me, I marvel at the ignorance of the people that are asking those questions. But at times, a question is asked by a person, and I see that they have a grasp of the subject, but they want to know more about that subject. They want to know details of that subject, and I rejoice. And it was this way with the Lord Jesus. He would ask questions, and then they would ask him questions, and he would give them answers, and they were astounded at the answers that he gave. So please notice that Jesus is the one busy about his Father's business. And for 30 years, his business was preparing as a mature man waiting for his manifestation to the nation of Israel. And so for those 30 years, the Lord Jesus was increasing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And the word is grace. He increased in grace with God and man. It's like this. The people looked upon him as he grew, as he did his work, and he increased in favor, in grace with man, and he increased in favor with God. How could such a thing be? The same way that you increase your admiration for your child as he is able to carry out the functions as he develops physically, as he obeys you, as you place more responsibilities upon him, and he fulfills all of those responsibilities. And that is what the Father did. More and more, he placed responsibilities upon him, and the Lord Jesus was equal to them all. He knew what it was to be busy for his Father, but he knew also what it was to go home and be obedient to his parents until he was 30 years of age. And after that, he was on his own, and he was manifested to Israel. So what had happened was this, that the Lord Jesus had been preparing for 30 years to be this one who was capable of meeting any temptation, answering any question, and therefore, when the Holy Spirit comes upon him at his baptism, he's able to say this, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel, to open blind eyes, to heal the brokenhearted." The Spirit of God was upon him, and he was fully prepared at that time that carry out the will of God without failure. And that's what it means when it says Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. He had to learn these things. That is why he was in the temple, listening, asking questions, because he had to do the way that Daniel did. What we would like to think is this, that Jesus being God, that the Father just fed to him all the information, and Jesus never had to work, had to study, but it wasn't that way at all. Let me ask you this. How is it that Daniel was able to give his prophecy in chapter 9? Because he had been reading Jeremiah chapter 25. That is why. He said, I understood by the books from Jeremiah that 70 years had been prophesied concerning the nation of Israel. Now, some things God gave Daniel miraculously. It was supernatural. But other things, if he was able to look at the Word of God and find those things, God said, do it this way. And that's the way Daniel did it, and that is the way the Lord Jesus Christ did it. If there were things that he needed to know supernaturally, the Father imparted that to him. Grasp this, because most people cannot grasp it, that when Christ performed his miracles, even though being God, he could have done them that way, it was not that way. It says the power of the Lord was with him to heal. When Peter would protect him in the garden, listen to what he said. He said, put your sword into the sheath. Do you not think that even now I could beseech my Father and he would send me more than 12 legions of angels? Think for a moment. If he were going to use his omnipotence, he would say, do you not realize that I am God and I can destroy everyone here because I'm God? It was never that way. Satan tempted him at the very first to act independently of his Father. He said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Satan tried to trick him up that first time to be independent of his Father. But he said, yes, I'm God, I'm the Son of God, but man shall not live by bread alone. When God is manifest in the flesh, no one knows how he's going to live until God tells us. And the first word he speaks to Satan is, man shall live this way. And so he's living as the dependent man. And for this reason, when you ask the question, where did this man get these things? Where did this wisdom come from? Well, there was first that natural endowment, that ability from God, and then there was that development of the gift that God had given him. It says this, stir up the gift that is in thee, and all the intelligence that the Lord Jesus had, being born of Mary, all of that intelligence, he used it to the full, he developed it, and therefore, when he came upon the scene, because of his perfect progress, day by day, it says this in Hebrews 5, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, at every stage of his life he was perfect, but he went from glory to glory, from stage to stage, and in each stage of development, it pleased the Father and increased in wisdom, and in stature, and in favor with God and man. And now the Lord Jesus is in perfect condition upon the scene, publicly manifested. And he's prepared, knowing the Word of God, having hidden it in his heart, to meet any temptation that Satan places upon him. And also, he is ready to describe unto man, to make known unto man, the mind of God. And he had learned from Psalm 78 that he was to make known the mind of God by parables. Isn't that a remarkable thing? Here is what you'll find about parables from the Old Testament. The first one we are told about that used parables was a false prophet named Balaam. But then, after that, there were others that used parables. you'll find that Micah speaks about people using parables. Hosea speaks about parables. I read you in Psalm 78, Asaph used parables. And not only so, but the book of Proverbs, and I just as soon explain this now, it's the book of Proverbs, but it is the word mashal, and that word is translated in ever so many different ways. It's translated parable, it's translated proverbs, it is translated riddle, and for that reason, I'll tell you the seven things that are thought of when you use the word parable. There is a parable and a proverb and an allegory, a similitude, a dark saying, a riddle, and you find one fable in the Bible. And all of these would fit under that category of Christ the parable speaker. And I will tell you this, you do not realize it, but the word parable in the New Testament is used at times indiscriminately. But in John's Gospel, you never find a parable. You find a paroimia, which we shall use as a proverb. And in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's always Christ spoke a parable, parabole. They're two different words, but both of them mean this, comparisons. And I'm so glad that the King James translated that very word. This is what it literally says. With what parable shall I parabolize this? But this is the way they translated in the King James. With what comparison shall I compare? And so a parable and a proverb are comparisons. It simply means one thing cast beside another, and the thing you do not know is understood by the thing that you do know. And this is the way that Christ was going to make known the mind of God from heaven. I'm thinking of this. Concerning these in the Old Testament, most of them spoke parables, and they were pleased to do so. But Ezekiel was the one who was also a parable speaker. If I had said, I'm going to speak to you on the parable speaker, I could have read to you from the book of Ezekiel. Because God said to him, go speak this parable, go speak this parable. And finally, when God had told him to do that, Ezekiel said, Lord, they're talking about me. They're calling me the parable speaker. Isn't that remarkable? He wanted to tell them something, and God said, I want you to tell it to them this way. And Ezekiel did not like to tell them things that way, because they categorized him as the parable speaker. And God said also, they're talking about you, son of man, as they stand by the way, and they say, why, he's one like singing a very lovely song, and he's got a beautiful voice. That's the way that they think about you. And when they spoke that way about Ezekiel, he said, Lord, they're talking about me this way. But the Lord Jesus was delighted to be known as the parable speaker. There were things, and this is why at times I have regrets. Think of all the great literature in the world by the best minds that God has given men. And here you think back and you have Homer, and you have Aristotle, and you have Plato, you have all of these men and their philosophy, and then you have Chaucer, and you have Shakespeare, you have Spencer, then you have all of these great minds, and with their minds, they're able to bring before men things that man acknowledges as masterpieces. And the Lord Jesus could have provided literature for man that is incomprehensible, superior to anything that was ever given. But God said, you go and speak to them in parables. And the Lord Jesus said, yes, Father. And so in one sense I say, what a loss. I would like so much for the Lord Jesus, but God gave us exactly what we should have in the word that we should have it. And the Lord Jesus was satisfied to use the Father's words. What I did was this. My whole life long, I've been studying the parables just as you have. If you've been reading the Bible, you've been reading them, whether or not you've been studying them. And so recently I said, Well, let me see, how many parables are there? I wonder if anybody would know offhand how many parables there are, because you have read all of them and counted each one. Let me see. Just as I thought. Well, one of the great parable teachers is Trench, and so I looked at him, and there were 30, and then I looked at another source, and there were 51. And what happened was this. I kept learning these parables, but then each time I would have to learn more, until finally I settled upon this number. There are 57 distinct, unique parables Christ speaks in the Synoptics, but 11 of them he repeats more than one time. 9 of them he repeats twice, and 2 of them he repeats 3 times. And so you add that all together, and you have Christ in the Synoptics. We have recorded Christ speaking 70 parables. But then, in the Gospel of John, you have no parables, but you have no less than 13 proverbs. And so how shall we say this? You simply add 70 and 13, that makes Christ speaking 83 comparisons. And then you say comparisons, yes. Proverbs in John's Gospel and parables in the Synoptic Gospels. So, here is where we start marveling concerning our Savior. He is the parable speaker. He's going to make known the mind of God by the use of parables. And I did not tell you this at first, but the first two messages I gave you were messages on parables that Christ spoke. Listen, wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business? That is a parable in miniature. Listen to the other one. Doubtless you will speak unto me this parable. Physician, heal thyself. That's the shortest parable in the Bible. Physician, a noun. Heal, a verb. Thyself, an object. But Christ said, this parable. And so what I spoke to you the last 2 weeks was on parables and Christ. This is what is so remarkable, that at the age of 12 had that bent of mind to express things in a parabolic way. And then in his first message recorded in Luke 4 in Nazareth, he mentions parables. Doubtless you will speak unto me this parable, physician, heal thyself. And then he speaks his own parable, which we are including in that. He says, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country. That quickly, parabolic forms are in his mind because he had that inclination. And he inherited it naturally from 2 sources I will give you that you are familiar with. His father, notice it says, he is the son of his father David. That means his great-great-great-great-grandfather. But who was the son of David? You say Solomon. Well then, David was his grandfather, and Solomon was his grandfather. And who wrote more psalms, poetical forms, than anybody else in the Bible? You say, why, David did. And who spoke and recorded more proverbs than anybody else in the Bible? You say, why, Solomon did. And he is a direct descendant of David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. And it says that Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,004. And so these things came to him naturally. And this is what God has done for some minds. He has empowered them with this innate ability to think in a certain way. And I contrasted Christ with Adam in this way. Here is Adam, freshly created, and God is showing him his creation. And he says to Adam, he brings up a horse, and he says, what is that? And God doesn't tell Adam what it is. He said, you tell me what it is. He says, well, that's a horse. And he brings up a sheep.
And he says, what is that? He says, that is a sheep. He had the innate ability to look at something and see what it should be called, what its characteristics were, and then a word to give it a name. Now that's Adam. And then we come to David, and then we come to Solomon. But what is so remarkable is that when we come to Christ, as soon as Andrew's brother, Simon, is brought to him, the Lord Jesus looks upon him, he says, you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas. And then in Matthew 16, that prophecy is fulfilled when he says, whom do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And what is so thrilling about the Lord Jesus Christ is that he could look upon a situation and immediately evaluate it and speak a parable. And as you look over all of these 70 occurrences of parables that Christ spoke in the Synoptic Gospels, you will find that at times he will speak a parable spontaneously. He will speak one parable. For instance, when they come to him and they say to him, why is it that your disciples do not fast like John the Baptist's disciples fast? And like the Pharisees fast. Immediately the Lord Jesus saw what was improper about that. He said, if you are at a wedding, can you have the sons of the bridegroom, can you have the guests at the wedding fasting and being filled with mourning and sorrow? He said, that is completely out of place. He said, you do not fast and mourn at a wedding. He said, but when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, then they shall fast. And immediately they came to his mind, and he said, who takes a new piece of cloth and puts it on an old piece of cloth to patch up a rent? And he said, who takes new wine and puts it into old wineskins? Do you see how his mind thinks? Now, in this instance, he uses three parables spontaneously. But on other occasions, he uses no less than 10 that he has arranged. In Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8, you have to compare them all together, you will see that the Savior spoke no less than 10 parables on that day, and he went prepared because here are people, and he's going to preach to them in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. And so this is why Christ is called the parable speaker, and I rejoice in it, that the Old Testament said, this is the way you're going to make known the mind of God and the will of God and the explanation of life and the heart of man. You're going to do it with parables. And Christ knew from Psalm 78 that he was to be the parable speaker, and no one ever spoke parables like the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you're reading the parables, at times you do not even realize that you're reading them. Like this. When Christ criticized the scribes and the Pharisees, his disciples came to him and said, do you know that they were offended by what you said? He said, let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and they're both going to fall into the ditch. Every plant which my Father planted not shall be rooted up. You see, all of these things are immediately arising in the mind of Christ, and he sees the situation, and he sees that they are going to be rooted up, because they were not planted of his Father. And he saw all of these great teachers, supposedly of the law, and he said, all of these great teachers are blind leaders of the blind, and they are both going to fall into the pit. And so the Lord Jesus knew who it was in whose presence he could sit and listen and ask questions, as in Luke chapter 2. And the Lord Jesus also knew who were blind guides teaching other blind guides and leading one another, they would both fall into the ditch. And so the Lord Jesus was that incomparable parable speaker, and he was willing to be called what God would have him called, and he speaks these parables, and he makes known the mind of God and Christ would make known God's mind to you. He wants you to be saved. Remember what I told you last week. It says, why do you eat with publicans and sinners? He said, they that be whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You see, immediately he saw the situation, and he made up this parable. He said, I am a physician, and I've come to heal sick people. I haven't come to heal well people. And so the Lord Jesus is the great parable speaker, and that's all the time I have to tell you about it now. So I think there was a song for closing.